Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from wonderful Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got another fantastic show lined up for all of you today. We have Linda Feinholt, my co-host, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda is calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. How's everything over on your coast?
It's nice and sunny. I hope we don't have more rain like we did yesterday.
Oh, you know, it becomes a one-note kind of message to keep saying to people, yes, it's lovely in Los Angeles. I think it doesn't matter if we get struck by the next ice age or the next heat. What would we call the opposite of an ice age? It's gorgeous in Los Angeles.
Well, it will be here in Bonita Springs by the 1st of October. We'll be having nice, lovely, boring weather from October until May, as we do every year from that time.
There we go, boring.
Time from October to May, we rarely have more than 5 days where it will actually rain. Otherwise, it's just gorgeous, 75 to 85, sunny skies, no clouds, no anything. How perfect is that?
That's absolutely perfect. And, you know, there's lots of different kinds of perfect and boring that's perfect. And I just want to share with our listeners that our guest today, Chuck Mullaney, has a lot to be grateful for when things could be boring and perfect, because his daughter was in an absolutely astounding car accident yesterday and is standing with a scratch on her today. A tremendous amount to be grateful for. So, Chuck, welcome aboard. I'll introduce you for the business side of life shortly, but I just want to celebrate with you as someone who had to get cut out of my car, and Gina has her own long story of the result of a car accident. I just want to celebrate with you how grateful I am to hear that your daughter's doing well.
Well, thank you very much. Quite honestly, I was a little concerned as soon as you brought that up, because I felt the tears welling up. It was pretty astonishing, quite honestly. And of course, we couldn't be more grateful for the luck involved. The top of the Jeep was absolutely crushed. It flew in the air and landed on its roof and slid maybe 20 yards, and she walked away hysterical, a little bruised, one little scratch on her arm, and it's still shocking.
Oh my goodness. Sure. She is thank you so much for being here, Chuck, in light of that.
No problem. Yeah, the truth of the matter is, technically, physically, everybody's okay. Just been an emotional wreck for about 24 hours. So really, no need to cancel this.
No, but you know what? I'm a firm believer in celebrating on many levels. So I'm delighted to be able to celebrate that before we start celebrating what's going on in your business world, because
we gather people
from so many walks of life. And I think it's really important for people to understand that those of us who are living in the well of entrepreneurial life, it's all interwoven.
Absolutely.
It really is. So, I'm delighted to celebrate that. She was hysterical, deservedly so. It's good. It's the right kind of hysterics to have. So, wonderful. So, for our listeners who may not yet know Chuck, Chuck has been a legend in the internet marketing space for more than a decade. He's created several of the top products and services, as well as successfully mentoring and coaching thousands of small business owners, all the way to very solid online success. And he's been invited to speak on stages. And I think the heart of why Gina and I wanted you to join us is because we're all about helping our listeners understand just how critical it is to create relationships with our prospective clients, with our current clients, with our colleagues, and so on. And with everything that's going on in social media nowadays, I think what's happened is that this whole idea of mastering email marketing has gotten shoved to the back burner, and it really needs to be pulled back to the front, particularly for people who are trying to build businesses. It is something that needs to be as current. And so I'm so delighted to have you with us today.
Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting you say that, and it still makes me giggle a little inside that that this is just starting to become a huge staple in everyone's business. I don't mean email marketing. I mean building a relationship. You know, it just happened to be my forte a long time ago in the beginning where, you know, the way that marketing was done by email was, you know, churn and burn. You put as many people in the list as you can, you throw offers at them, and then a lot of them fall out of the back end because they don't want offers all day, and that means you fill the list. And, you know, it's always been my my little niche to do the opposite, you know, to create a solid relationship with my email list, and therefore I've always been able to create a huge return on investment with a small list because of that. And
when you started down, well, what were you involved in business when this whole idea of communicating through email became important to you?
It's really interesting you bring that up. That's actually the reason I think that I had an ace up my sleeve. I was a successful salesman, an executive sales rep for a long time before this. Just happened to be a closet nerd. That's how the internet side worked out. But, you know, my way of doing my job was about relationship marketing offline.
Mm-hmm.
It was about consultative sales, not the aggressive type of crushing people with the normal sales techniques. It was more about literally delivering value at all times. And if you do, you really don't even have to focus on the money. It just sort of comes with that. And, you know, so it only made sense that I would bring that into my online business when I started.
I love it. And for those of us, I'm very familiar with consultative sales consultative relationship building, not only because of being a consultant for many years, it's just been an aspect of the conversation in my business world. But we may have a lot of listeners who don't know how to distinguish the difference, and I'd love it if we spent a little time helping them understand what consultative sales is all about.
Sure, no problem. Let me see if I can make this work without any visuals. Think of it this way. Your quintessential salesman, who most of us would see has a negative connotation, would be a direct face-to-face chess match. You know, you're do this now, this is good for you, that kind of thing. Response from the person they don't like to be sold to, and, you know, back and forth, and that kind of junk.
And a match, in a sense.
Yeah, the consultative side would be the opposite. Think of those two people standing next to each other looking at the options. Okay, so consultative sales, I would picture myself with my arm around the person. I'd literally become a trusted tour guide. And that changes everything, you know. And it actually, the interesting thing is it even makes you, once you really do that, it makes you step up as a person. You know, once you realize that is effective, then all of a sudden you feel ownership of the future and, you know, what your prospect is dealing with right now. And that makes you step up as well. So it's an interesting dynamic. But as far as creating income from it, it's a no-brainer.
And I love the pictures that you painted, because traditional sales, I don't know over the years how many different, quote, sales training systems or programs I sat through or audited or peeked in or got presentations from those people. And, you know, they have everything lined up in a very linear fashion, what you have to handle and what sequence you have to handle it. And, you know, here's the list of the 40 possible objections, and you need to have your answers prepared and be able to volley back and forth and, you know, handle those objections. And it's really quite different when you're standing shoulder to shoulder with someone looking at the same issue with them. Now you're in a conversation, and the same question they might ask that used to be labeled an objection now gets converted into a question for conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah, an opportunity. You know, it's thinking about that, it you know, if the person that you are talking with sees you as an adversary or somebody they need to be worried about, if there's a trust issue there, you know, it looks to me like it's a huge mountain to overcome to sell something to them. So number one is the trust needs to be knocked down. And number two, a close second would be substantiating credibility. So if you have those two in that interaction, I think the job becomes very easy after that. So, yeah, focusing on trust and credibility is the key.
Where were you in your own career when email started to become this communication thread or medium?
It was interesting. I think people might label me as, I really didn't. It isn't as though I'm some genius that came up with this whole thing and then, you know, executed it perfectly. It's more like a situation of need, and it's amazing what happens when you have no choice. I was a very, very successful mortgage broker, which is, for those of you that don't know, a commission-only sales job, and had those approaches, and that's why I was good at it, blah, blah. But what really threw this into crazy land was that I had met my wife. We had both been previously divorced. I had I was a single dad with a boy, and she had three children, and both of our exes were non-existent. So I woke up one day with four kids, and that changed everything. So my quote success at $60,000-$70,000 a year was instantly poverty. So I worked at home, so it was easy for me to dedicate some time to the internet. And when I did, and I realized that being a somewhat closet nerd as well as being a relationship marketer was going to make this work, then I went full force into it, and then it worked. So that's where I was when that stuff happened. It wasn't like I was brilliant and read the Wall Street Journal, said, hey, this is a trend, I'm going to go exploit it. It was more like just happened to give it a shot, and it did its job.
So what's changed in the past, I'll say, 3 to 5 years as social media has blossomed and this supposedly effective style of communicating through devices like Facebook and so on have become the style? What's had to shift in the email world?
That's interesting you bring that up. I have several friends, as you can imagine, doing this for so long, that are top in their game. And a couple of them are Facebook consultants. And we've had many conversations about this. You know, if your entire business is done on the social media side, and you're not actively using your social media influence to build an email list, you could literally wake up one day and have no business, because that means somebody else is in control of it. As far as I've always seen, I've always used Facebook. I like Facebook, but it's always been about communicating socially to show that I'm very real and very human, rather than raping it for leads. Mm-hmm. And anytime that I get leads or anything like that, my first concern is getting them in my email list, because then I, you know, they have the permission to build a relationship with them, communicate from here forward, no matter what happens to Facebook, Twitter, or whoever, you know. So what has happened? I believe that many see this as changing and taking over email. And a lot of my friends, again, in the marketing world, would bring that up socially, and somewhere inside I'm going, good, tell everybody it's gone. I'm okay with that. But there's no way to take out email marketing. It's too convenient. It's too high of a return on investment, and it still has market penetration. Everybody's using it, so no, that's not going anywhere. So social media side is to enhance it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's which is the bread and which is the spice that you sprinkle on top.
That's right. And when it comes down to that, I'm thinking fundamentals. I control my email list. It doesn't matter what happens to any other company. I take my list with me. So, you know, that's how I characterize it.
Right. It doesn't matter how any of the social media organizations may change the rules of engagement. You, if you have people on your email list, they're yours.
Absolutely. And I've seen that since minute one. And I can, as you can imagine, there's a lot of people that I respect saying the opposite. And when that comes up, I take a true, good, hard look at it. And I'm still very much on that side. Email list is the tool here.
So I know Gina and I have spent a lot of time the last few months talking with our listeners about Michael Masterson's book, Great Leads, in which he talks about the importance of understanding where your audience is at, where your prospective buyer is at, and literally changing how you, I'll say the how you communicate with them, but by that I actually mean what's the form of the message that you're sharing with them to create relationship through the five different levels of awareness. And I don't know if you're familiar with that book.
I know of it. I haven't read it, but I get the point. And
yeah.
I absolutely agree. You know, just knowing that relationships are the right way to go and building them by email list is not the key. The key is to focus on the fundamentals of the situation of your target. And, you know, that there's no way to build an effective relationship on autopilot unless you have a clear understanding of what's working and not working for your target market, no matter what your niche is. So I clearly understand that. I clearly agree. I think that without reading that book, you know, I think those things should enhance the relationship. You know, if your target is only on Facebook, sounds good. Be on Facebook all the time, but make sure you get them on that email list. You know?
Right. All of which means that each of us as marketers needs to understand where our folks are. Where is our tribe? What are they concerned by? What do they already know about the issue they want solved? And where are they hanging out?
Absolutely. And, you know, focusing on them at a fundamental level in all aspects is just smart. That's, you know, where it comes from. A lot of people I know focus literally on the pennies they're bringing in per people. And I think that is such a mistake. I just simply focus on finding my target, studying my target, paying attention, and making sure that I deliver true value or make a change if I'm not. And really, money is less of a concern. It sort of comes with the job, you know. And I think it's a much safer bet to do that. So yes, we got to focus exactly on where they are, not only where they are, but where they are mentally, what their holdups are, you know, what our market is inadvertently doing to them incorrectly, you know, where they're failing, and really trying to be, you know, that consultative salesman. So.
You have an interesting position, an interesting role right now because of this system that we're going to be talking about shortly and sharing with our listeners. One of your, quote, target markets is people who need to communicate through email, which,
absolutely,
you know, we could grossly exaggerate and say that's everyone on planet Earth. But how do you – what's evolved for you in,
you know,
who your market is nowadays?
My market is usually people that, you know, send reach is what we're talking about. And, you know, that's in its infancy. I mean, it took 3 years to build, so it's not new to me. But it is rather new to our market. And I believe that, you know, we're going to focus on, at the initial stages, internet marketers because that's my world. However, you know, its reach is way past that. Any business that, you know, has to sell, which is pretty much everybody, needs to build a relationship with their fan base and create the fan base. And email is the right way to do it. The thing that bugs me at this point is whenever SendReach is brought up in conversations, it actually, I believe that it probably makes for a little bit of a layer of distrust for my opinion about email marketing, which is unfair. You know, I built SendReach because of how I feel about email marketing, not the opposite. I don't preach email marketing because of SendReach. It was just the obvious escalation of what I was doing.
It was the obvious
tool
that you knew you needed, and since nobody else was building it, darn it, you need to build it yourself.
Right. That's pretty much what happened. You know, I've been a customer of other email marketing platforms for a decade now, and nerdy enough to know where they were missing the mark. And one day we just sat down and wrote it out on paper. If we had a perfect situation, everything was possible, what would it do? And wrote it down on paper and then executed it, made it happen. So, go ahead.
No. I would love to step people through. You know, we have everything from people who are new into business and people who have been in the depths of it, whether it's online and offline, for decades, And they come to the show because we help them think about things in new ways. And so I would love to, especially because you're such a master of it, I would love to walk people through the idea of what you're trying to do with this device called email. And
Absolutely. What
changed over time. What did it used to be? Because there's a lot of people who are still stuck and used to be, but can't even describe that that's what they're doing. And help them understand what they need to be doing nowadays to be effectively creating relationship.
Sure. At the base level, remember that every single person in your email list is you. Okay, they're a human being. And you lose sight of that over time based on hitting numbers. And that's what I've been actively not allowing to happen to me personally with my business. And SendReach is just an extension of that. It's been tools so that nobody on your email list feels like a number. That's the key. You got to remember the people. You got to remember that if you focus on helping them and literally being effective with them, then you'll be surprised what happens. So email is a perfect tool for that because I would say it's second biggest or most effective way to hit mass numbers, you know, second only to TV. And, you know, its return on investment is much, much, much better than TV. So, yeah, where I think it should be, I think you should remember that the people on your email list are human beings and, you know, focus on helping human beings, and email is the way to get in touch with them, rather than email is a tool to make money. If you see it that way and you email me, I promise you I'll notice. And if I do, the second that I feel that I'm on a list or I'm being hit in mass numbers, the only reason I would ever stay on your email list is just simply to take a look at what options you have going on, and if it doesn't work for me, next subject. But see, when you actually create a relationship with your email list, it goes the other way around. When I find a good product or something that I think is good for my email list and I suggest it to them, they dive on it. They don't even question it. I've had several instances where proof of a relationship is so obvious that it's almost comical. There's been times where I've emailed my list and said, hey, this is awesome. The marketing sucks. I happen to know the product's great. It costs $3,000. Just skip over the sales page and go buy it. And I'll have replies like this. Okay, I bought it. What is it? That's when you know. That's
right.
The difference. So, you know, as far as return on investments or over here in the marketing side, we would say, you know, earnings per click. I don't even have to pay attention to that stuff because every time I sit down and do the math, I laugh because in reality, my EPCs, my earnings per click are just through the roof. And that's what it comes from. I'm not focusing on them, you know. So, yeah, they're human beings. And email is just a tool to get in front of them. That's it.
Right. So, very often with my students in the Breakthrough Academy and my other programs, I teach them this little triplet of form, content, and timing. If you want to get the bird's eye view about something working, something not working, just start there. And so when we talk about email as a form, it's an electronic message that's sent that the tipping point is whether it feels personal, whether the content of the subject line, the content of the email itself, feels personal to the person who's receiving it or doesn't.
Absolutely.
And then there's the whole other element of timing, you know, what time of day you should or shouldn't send, and, you know, we can get into that as a later discussion. What is it that is critical about content nowadays to make people feel like you're actually in relationship with them?
Well, I've got two sides to it personally. One is, you know, everything that you would assume, you know, paying attention to what's going on with them and then trying to actually help them. The other side is paying attention to more technical details. Like there was a survey of adult literacy here in the U.S. in 93 that showed that the average American reads at an eighth or ninth grade reading level. Well, the interesting thing is I've dealt with tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people over the years, and I can tell you, most are smart. It's not that most are dumb. You know, as far as how do you get good at reading, well, there's only one way to do that. You're not born with that. It's read more. Okay, so what that means to me is that in general, my target market, which is the U.S., is lazy with reading. And that includes me. No looking down on anybody. This is just direct assessment. So therefore, every communication that I send is worked around that. I don't talk down to people, but I'm very careful to make sure that nothing looks like it's intimidating to read. And since trust and credibility are the keys to this for me, you know, even above being liked, okay, trust is just simply not promoting products or giving them a way to buy something for a time frame when you first start with them. And the other is credibility. And, you know, credibility doesn't need to be, look how smart I am, look how awesome I am, look how brilliant I am. Because if you really focus, most people aren't going to find that out, because what you're writing to them is overwhelming in looking, or actually overwhelming, and therefore they're going to quit somewhere in there. So they'll think you're smart as can be, but they won't know that for certain because they won't go through it. So I focus on the opposite. I'm setting up the relationship so that they've decided to, they're going to hear me from there forward. And so the beginning of my relationship building is about getting them to the bottom of everything I write. If I can't get them to the bottom, then I have no idea where I am with them. So everything is written literally to get them to read to the last word. The content is actually secondary for me in the beginning. I need to set the tone that they've decided to read what I say and hear what I say. And then after that, it's, you know, I progressively come into what I'm actually thinking, which is much more detailed stuff. So, you know, it all comes down to the technical sides. If in my small market, and I understand that my market is a smaller version, you know, of your listeners. But in our world, in the internet marketing space, I think it's common that people that first come in and decide, you know, type into Google, how do you make money with this thing, you know, start to learn very quickly that I don't know how yet, but people get paid to tell me where to go, to click a link. And therefore, since that can be a common misconception, if I send them a tip email and say, hey, you know, go to Google, here's a link, and check out this, I don't want them to assume that I'm getting paid to do that. I still have to build trust with them. I haven't yet. So I would never put an actual clickable link in any of the emails in the beginning, as the beginning of a relationship. I'm working on those technical details of them not misassuming that they can't trust me. So I think those things are probably not, you know, too much common sense. That's something that you learn over time. But the rest is more human stuff. You know, you need to communicate them to the way that they will effectively hear you. You know, it's not about talking down to them. It's not about selling them. It's not about dictating stuff to them. You know, using the word need in the beginning of a relationship is a bad idea in my world. You know, you need to do this. You need to do this. Here's 15 bullet points and steps that you got to do this right now. I can't tell you how many times I see people do that and mean it and mean well. Okay, the problem is I don't want to be dictated by you. I don't even know you yet. I don't even know why I'm supposed to be listening to you yet. So it needs to be a relationship there built on trust and credibility. Reading through all the material, trust being built where it is in the opposite of the market, you're not beating me down with things to buy anytime soon. Once that's done, I can do pretty much whatever I want because I take care of them. And that means that they're also very forgiving of my mistakes, which is pretty cool too. So I'll get off my soapbox.
I love it because I'm thinking as you're talking about so many, you know, there's a way that many copywriting programs out there are trying to teach people in a very rote fashion, very formulaic fashion. You know, you need to create an email chain that goes out to somebody the minute they subscribe, and here's what the components should be, and here's the language you should use, and so on. And none of it's actually, it's even if they're attempting to teach people how to use email to be in relationship, very often they're missing the point. There's an energy behind it of how quickly can I get somebody to actually start following my instructions or buying or whatever, instead of asking the question, what does it take to build a relationship with someone? And I happen to be using the device of email in order to do that.
It's interesting you say that. Again, I've been in this world so long that most of the people that you may be referring to are friends of mine. So
yep.
I see it done very differently than me. And, you know, the model, the opposite model, where you would be more of a copywriter's model, which is to focus on the things that work on human beings, such as storytelling and, you know, scarcity and asking a question, finding the pain, escalating the pain, then giving the answer. Those things all work. There's no question. I mean, I have plenty of rich friends to prove that. However, I don't believe that if they really sat down and did the math, that they would agree that that should be done anytime in the beginning of the relationship. In the beginning of the relationship, you need to make them fans first. And that doesn't, it's pretty much, I find it pretty much impossible to create a fan with somebody that you don't care about at all. You really need to care about them for them to feel it, and they will. You know, they become very forgiving of your mistakes and your words once they get the attitude or the frame of mind that this person actually cares, you know. And then after that, make no mistake. You put a sales page up, all those tools need to be used. That's how that works. But at the beginning of the relationship, it just feels like suicide to do that.
So, Gina, I don't know if you have any questions because I'm about to start asking him all kinds of questions about SendReach. So I know
you are doing a great job, Linda. Just keep going.
No, I was going to say, I know between the birds screaming on your deck and the sawing of the bricks that took place a couple of weeks ago, I know you have yourself on mute, so come on off of mute.
I'm only on mute because we are definitely going to have some rain. It's now thundering in the background. The birds are still chirping, and I didn't want to interrupt. But
I'm loving this
discussion. As you know, Linda, everything that you guys have been talking about is certainly near and dear to my heart. Everything I teach deals with relationship marketing. Yeah. To me, relationship marketing really is the key to so many things. In my world, it's not just the vehicle for turning prospects into customers. It's also the vehicle that would allow entrepreneurs and small businesses to really change the world. If we really use the concept of relationship marketing to build businesses, we really can build businesses that really make a huge difference instead of just making a bunch of money.
Good point. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm sure I have a couple mentoring students that would agree that that's effectively been a byproduct of this. Not only my email list isn't the only thing I care about, I certainly care about the people that are my clients. And that comes through and it affects the world in a way that each of them sees firsthand that that's the right way to handle things. So I see plenty of people turn into very stand-up people on the web just simply by going through the course. And I usually don't tell people that because it sounds like it's a sales ploy, but it's not. I mean, I get to watch it firsthand, and it's neat stuff. You know, if you have someone that comes into something like this and learns from me, there's even been isolated instances where people have come in and been real straight with me right from the beginning. Look, I don't give a crap what I got to do to anybody. Just simply, as long as it's legal, I'm doing it. And it didn't take long. Yeah, me too. And it didn't take long for them to realize that, you know, away from what's right and wrong, it's simply a bad model, you know. And therefore, I've watched it change them, you know. And I wouldn't say that's most of them. Most of them don't come in like that. But when that happens, I got to admit, I get a little satisfaction out of watching them change their lives, you know.
Renegade transformation.
That's right. Inadvertent transformation.
Exactly.
I didn't mean to do that to you, but I'll take it. So, yeah.
I do the same thing. Good for you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So let's talk about SendReach. At some point, the light bulb went off in your head about what it was that would help you better create relationship, more meaningful relationship with the right folks. So what was the light that went off for you?
I was effective at doing it with limited information. Once I realized that we had access to more information, then it was just brainstorming forever to figure out how to make that help me have a more effective route to the relationship that I wanted. You know, with an email address and in many cases a name, and not always the correct name. I can't tell you how many times people come into my email list with Mickey Mouse as their names. You know, it's kind of hard to build a solid relationship. And everybody, I mean, once you get an email list that's, let's say, maybe above 500 or 1,000 people, well, now you're effectively talking to just many more people that you just simply cannot relate to. They have different lives, different, you know, social environments, different economic positions, religion, politics, everything. And therefore, you're sending a message out, and no matter how you mean that message, it's setting a tone in everyone's head. And if they really are different than you, then it's going to be very hard to create a relationship. And then in a less deep manner, let's just say I wanted to send something out that's great, you know, something that's either a great product to buy or even something that's free, you know, no ulterior motive whatsoever. If I send that same message to, and I'm 45 years old, I'm a male, and I live on the East Coast in the U.S., you know, I have very different focuses and goals and things than, say, a 20-something female in Los Angeles or, you know, a 65-year-old man in the U.K. We speak differently. We have different motivations, different histories, all of that. The way to communicate to them is not going to be my East Coast attitude, you know, and cynical, you know, kind of thing as opposed to the rest of the world. So once I could, once I realized that we had the tools or we had the ability to create the tools to segment on the fly who is who in that email list, well, that changed everything. You know, because if, again, I could send the same message worded differently to a senior citizen in Europe as opposed to, you know, a youngster, I would see, being 45, in the States, then that would change everything, and it did. I mean, that's what happened. And then, of course, you know, being a brainstormer and innovator, it just never stopped. It became an obsession and just kept going and going and going. So, yeah, that's where it started. The short version is, now with the advent of social media and the ability to connect and, you know, let's say if you're coming into an email list with mine, Facebook gives the vehicle for you to say, you know what, I'm okay with putting more than my email address in here. You know, my age, my gender, my general location is fine. And you click a button, says you're okay with that. Now all of a sudden, we can actually connect. And then it became about building the tools to do that in an expedited fashion. And that's what we've done over the last 3 years.
So I think it's really cool what you guys have created, and I would love it if you're going to do a much clearer job than I could in describing for our listeners exactly what SendReach is and how it pulls all of these threads together.
Yeah, no problem. We actually have had the ability to Facebook gave us all the ability 3.5 years ago, I believe, to use a Facebook Connect button. And the Connect button just says, you know, instead of a true opt-in form or standard opt-in form of putting your name and your email address in here for this free ebook or, you know, to get newsletters, Facebook gave us a button. And if you're signed into Facebook and you see this button, you click the button, you'll be sent over to Facebook where there's a disclaimer screen and it says, hey, no joke here, all above board. These people are going to get your limited basic information about you. Are you cool with that? And you agree to it, and that's the extent of it. That information comes over to the email list. Well, the issue is that that has been there for years, but nobody had ever created an environment that would effectively utilize that. And it had been getting on my nerves personally. I mean, I'm in this business. So when I first saw that Connect button, I was like, wow, that is just awesome. I can't believe it. Wow. And then I realized there's no way for me to find a service or to do anything to effectively utilize it. And therefore, it's a toy. I mean, that's all there is. I have way too many people on my email list to really know that, you know, Jennifer here is a female. I don't even have the time to even find that out. So there had to be a way to do this at a bigger scale, and we built tools to do that. So broadcasts are, meaning there's two types of emails that will go out for those of your listeners that are not familiar with this. There will be autoresponders, which are ones that you pre-create that go out on a schedule based on when somebody comes into your list. The other would be broadcasts, which are Chuck's put a new blog post up here. I want you to go see it. That email that you would send out on the fly is called a broadcast. Well, both sides of that are set up to use the demographic data. So if you want to send it to, again, only, let's say, middle-aged men in Texas, not a problem. As a matter of fact, pick the town in Texas. Okay, if you want to do it in a more general sense, only people in the U.S., easy stuff. This is all very easy options, and all we did was create the tools to make that happen. It was a lot of work, a lot of dedication to it. Not alone. There was a team. It may have come out of my head, but it certainly wasn't just me that did that. And we were very, very particular about following all the rules because we knew that something like this, could make people nervous with that kind of tool. So we followed all the rules, and that's why we're still here. So we're not endorsed by Facebook or even Google Plus. We use their connect button as well. But we don't have to be because it's very low impact. It's exactly what is required. Nothing happens without your knowledge. You have to agree to it. And when you agree to it, then you get messages that are created for you. And therefore, that changes things. So on the user side, let's say you're in SendReach and you have an email list and you're getting ready to send an email out, then it became about ease of use. So I said, okay, I'm going to send to this email list. Yes, I've got this overwhelming amount of data. Yes, I have everybody's permission. Yes, I'm going to talk to them in a way that they will understand. So how do I actually build the tools to make that happen? And what we found is we create the email, we click that we're going to send it, and then we'll send you to a new area that we had to create from scratch. Nobody even has anything in the direction of it, so we're talking piece of paper and a pencil, okay? And we call it a filters page. And basically, you make all of your choices there about who you want to receive this. You can even save all your choices so you don't have to go through that the next time. And you click send, and that's who they go to. So that's the broadcast side. The autoresponders are pretty much the same way, except let me run you through a quick scenario there. In our world, it's common for us to set up autoresponders. You signed up into an email list, and the first one that comes out is welcome. You know, hey, cool. You're going to be getting cool stuff from us, or whatever they write in us. Everybody's different. Well, we could actually write a series of emails that come out first one in the first day, and the next one comes out 2 days later, or the next one comes out 10 days later, or whatever you have. And then after you're done, you could go in and just change the wording on each one of them to work for women or to work for men in Australia or only people that are in this age group or any combination of them and save that one. So therefore, that specific series would only be sent to whoever you wanted it to be sent to. So if I come in there and let's say there's a bunch of different series that are set up to build a relationship with me as a subscriber, and again, I'm a 45-year-old male, I live in Maryland, Ocean City, Maryland. So let's say the system knows that, and you have a system that's an email series that's only set up to go to people in my age bracket, let's say, in the U.S., okay? This thing will be written like it's to me. Okay, and if you want to build a relationship, that's how you build a relationship. So that's the surface of it. Again, it took us 3 years to build. It's going to take me more than 5 minutes to explain it.
Sure.
that's the short version. There's much more to it.
But it's very cool to understand that what's going on is an integration between the public, I will call it publicly shared information, correct me if I'm misstating it, but if someone goes on to Facebook and says, here's my profile, here's everything I have and want to say about myself in this public forum, and for years now, Facebook has had what they call Facebook ads, where people who want to market to that specific or to a specific subset of people can go into Facebook, create an ad, and by toggling different characteristics of the demographics and so on, Facebook would screen exactly where that ad would be shown. And so what you folks have done is leverage that same collection of data with the Connect button so that your system is drawing on the publicly available information people have chosen to let the world know about themselves so that you're refining how you're creating the messages that are creating relationship.
That's very close, but let me be very particular about this because it's a subject that is important to most of us, okay? We don't assume that, okay? Mm. You as a subscriber coming into my list would literally have to click and give me permission for us to bring that information into the platform. We don't just take it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is a side of our system that does do that, but here's the parameters. There's in many cases, not with mine personally, but with many people, they're very private about that information. So they'd be on Facebook and they would share maybe photos and stuff with you, but you won't know, what location, where they are, or whether they're a male or female in many cases, or their email address. So there's two different sides here. When you click a Facebook button, connect button, and then you give permission, that brings in the biggest amount of information. Okay, probably your age, probably gender, probably location, as in like Ocean City, it wouldn't say where, and confirming the email address. Okay, and the other where our system, let's say you have a regular email list that you want to import into our system before even, you know, that you built before coming to us. Okay. Now, our system does some aggressive stuff. It goes out and looks for public demographic data, which is different than the information that would come through when you confirm it and allow it. In many cases, it would only bring in, you know, your gender, okay, or whatever you have decided is public. So that information in general is definitely less than what is brought in when you give permission. But more importantly, nothing sensitive is ever brought in. If you give direct permission for that to happen, it happens. If you don't, it's only about what you're allowing the entire world to see. So if you have a Facebook account and you set it up so that your friends know everything about you, okay, but if we're not friends, you only know, you know, that here's my name, because that's the name of your account, and that you know, you don't show your pictures to anybody. Just that you're, let's say, a female. So no age, no location, no nothing. That's what people would see when they go to your Facebook if they're not your friend, okay? Our system is allowed to bring that in. That is public information, okay? But if you would turn all that off, it wouldn't do that. It's a very sensitive subject with our entire population right now, including me, okay? So it's very important that be detailed. So I hope that helps.
No, I quite agree. And as you said, it's a really important issue. You know, especially if what you're trying to do is really build a legitimate relationship with people, then they need to know that you as a user of a SendReach system are being completely straight up with them and dealing with them on the level at which they wish to be known. They wish to have shared information.
That is precisely accurate. Yeah. And that's a very important one. And, you know, when you brainstorm and you come up with something that's very innovative, it's actually, you know, it's obviously fun, very fulfilling for somebody like me who loves doing that stuff. But I got to tell you, it's also very stressful because it brings you into new territory, and therefore you're doing a lot of determining the game from there forward. So there were plenty of times that were very painful for me personally over the last 3 years with that much power. And I really didn't like it, to tell you the truth. So I just thought, well, you know, I have different opinions than everybody else. I mean, I know that firsthand more than many because I do such heavy, you know, email relationship building. And we just simply picked the most conservative of all of them.
Yeah, and I love it. And people can see this for themselves if they go to the link, which will always be there in the show notes, which is bbdnow.com/SendReach, all one word. You'll always be able to find the SendReach program, whatever stage it's in as it evolves over time. Where does it stand right now? I know you guys have been in beta for a long time. Where is it now?
We're actually out of beta. We have thousands and thousands of users. Quite honestly, it was such a heavy ordeal, and scaling is actually a big undertaking and also a big concern for us. So we went through some hiccups as we started to get thousands of people in, and we got past those, and now we feel very confident in our system, and therefore it's time to go big.
Very cool.
We've put everything in place.
No, I love it. So if someone is subscribing now, what is it that they're subscribing to? What is the SendReach program nowadays, now that it's been road tested?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to be able to build email lists in there. It has all the help documentation you care to read. It gives you the tools, and it gives you advice on how to build an email list and then how to relate to your users or your subscribers and send them messages, no matter what your motivations are. If you're just simply building a goodwill list, that's perfect for it because you'll get real close to them. If you want to sell stuff to them, go for it. That's what we all do. However, there are certain rules that need to be followed. We haven't set too many different rules that anybody should be concerned with, other than if you're not an ethical marketer, I would not waste your time coming in. We will catch you, and we will be brutal about getting rid of you because, A, we don't feel it's right, but, you know, a close second is it'll be dangerous to our system, and that's not going to happen. So So if you're an ethical marketer or you're just simply building some type of a fan base, I don't believe that you can find a better tool. So you'll have the ability to build email lists, and it becomes much more obvious when you're inside.
Sure. So we're going to be sending people there to look at the introductory videos and so on. If as people are thinking about email and the role it really needs to play, and I know I kind of opened the show with this as a topic, and I want to wrap back around to it because we're bombarded daily with each next new thing on the internet. I'll group them all and call them all social media. But whether it's Pinterest, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Google+, whether it's Facebook, whether it's LinkedIn, depending on if you're trying to be in touch with a business target market and so on, where is it that SendReach is fitting into that huge swath of what people keep being told they're supposed to be paying attention to now?
Okay. This is one of those staples. It wouldn't fall into a category of those types of products, and the reason I happen to know that is because I've been in that world. Literally, we're the newest products and stuff that used to come out on the web. Chances are, I'm very close to whoever did that. I mean, it's a big but relatively small world, and a lot of us know each other. However, this is more of a staple. In this market, it would be email service platforms. There are several of them out there, only maybe three or four that are huge and dominating those markets. Then there's also some others that would encompass email as well, but do 100 other things, which would be more like a CRM or a relationship manager. And we don't really fall into either. If we have to pigeonhole ourselves and funnel us into one, we would be an email marketing platform or an email service platform. However, I believe we're actually, differentiated from them enough to where we may end up finding ourselves in our own little niche. So we do not have a shopping cart. We do not have the ability to handle your entire business. We focus on the communication between you and your subscribers, whether they're customers or prospects or whoever, and we do that right. So you would need a shopping cart to use us, but unlike others. But that's where we are. We're not really one of those, and I know what you're talking about. I'm really struggling with the words fly by night are not very accurate, but I know what you mean, something like that. The newest, craziest, shiniest thing. We're shiny, but in reality, we're not really in that little pigeonhole. I believe that we have the plan to be here forever, and it took us forever, it seems, to get to this position, Normally in our world, when we come up with a product or something to launch, it usually is a couple months, and it gets launched and makes hundreds of thousands or maybe millions in some cases, and then you don't hear about it anymore. We're not that type of thing. Now, as far as the social media, there's a new one in Pinterest, and you got to go use that. Now, I totally understand. I just think that ours is parallel to that. It's really not a fly-by-night type thing. I think that all of those, if, let's say, any newer ones come out tomorrow, that we will be watching heavily to see if they have the same traction that Facebook does or Google+. And if they do, then we'll find a way to get that information in to help you.
That's a really important point, that what you're watching for is to see what it is that's going to have traction and have legs, as we say, the entertainment world, which is, it's going to last over time. So that's really, it's really critical. It's really important. And you made a point a moment ago that this is not a CRM system, and I think it's helpful for our listeners to understand the distinction between, I think the waters have gotten kind of muddy because a lot of CRM systems are actually, databases attached to email systems.
Right. Now, focusing on email is the most important thing for us. We found out firsthand just how intensely big the undertaking is, as well as hard to continually over-deliver. I think if we decided to throw every bell and whistle in that I have experience with, such as shopping carts I've been using for a long time, I think it would pull us away from the main goal. And the main goal is to build a relationship with an email base. And if we focus us that we would screw it up. So no, we're definitely not a CRM. There are CRMs out there that do this and that do their thing and also do email, but I just don't think they can possibly keep up with us as far as what we do because we focus.
Just out of curiosity, there's been a lot of talk the last month or so about the changes in Gmail and how much more difficult it's going to be to get people to find your messages because of the latest changes in Gmail. Are you suggesting that people do anything different to overcome that issue?
Well, first of all, and this is going to sound funny, come to SendReach, because at this point right now, we don't have messages going to the promotions tab. I believe what you're speaking about is the tab differences that
Google
has placed up.
That's exactly what I'm speaking about. That's awesome.
We only hit the primary tab. I'm an email nerd, okay? If anybody would be able to answer that question, it would be me, and to be exactly straight up with you.
That's why I'm asking it.
To be exactly clearly transparent and straight up with you, I have no idea why we don't. And I think it's important that you hear that from me because the transparency is important, okay?
That's very
interesting.
I don't know why.
Yeah, at this stage we don't. We're of course have our eye on it as to why. If we start hitting the promotions tab, then we will do forensics and do what we have to do to get out of there. But at this stage we're there. Now I want to give you something on the other side, and this is probably not too good for SendReach's future, but I think it's very important that I convey what I'm learning from this very odd bird's eye view that we have now from watching so much mail go out from so many different people in our system. We found out lately that tab that everybody is worried about should not be worried about as much as it is. Okay, and here's why. Those tabs only show up when you go to check your Gmail on the web.
Yeah.
And now we have stats on our side, again, across the whole platform, that are showing that only 19% of Google users, Gmail users, are checking their email on Google's website.
Oh, my goodness. That is really interesting.
Isn't that important? I think it's important. And, again, I mean, it's like the anti-sales tool for SendReach. Okay, but I have to be that clear because I think it's just as important, the information that I have access to, that nobody has access to. It's very important.
So where are people checking their email?
Mobile devices. And if you're on a mobile device, let's say you have your Gmail integrated into maybe your iPhone. Okay, there's no tabs in there. Okay, and therefore, they're all coming to the same box or they're going to spam, one or the other, just like traditionally. Okay, and that's a very, very important point. You know, so in my world, I mean, again, my email marketers and internet marketers, they're all of us. I mean, everybody's flipping out about this.
Absolutely. And there's a reason, because all of us are doing our work logged into Gmail, checking Gmail out of the corner of our eyes while doing other things, sitting on our computer, making the assumption that everyone else is doing the same thing.
We are probably that 19%.
Yep.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Or my mom.
And, you know, the other thing our listeners really need to be aware of is so many autoresponders. I have autoresponder accounts with 3 different autoresponder companies, mainly so that I can really keep up on how things work with all of the different various autoresponder companies.
Yeah.
With companies like AWeber, for example, when I send myself an email through my own AWeber account, it goes into spam every time in Gmail. No matter what I do, I cannot get it to my inbox. I would expect that with SendReach, I wouldn't have that issue.
You would not have that issue. It does go to the inbox. Of course, there are instances where they've gone to spam. If you put something way over the top crazy that wouldn't build a relationship anyway, using every possible word that a system would see as spam, it's probably going to the spam box from us.
Yeah, but I'm talking about an email that has a 0 point spam score still goes to the spam box. No matter what it is, it's going to spam if it's from AWeber.
That's a problem. That's a big problem. If you're building a relationship with your email list and they're not seeing them, you're failing. I mean, that's just where it's at. So, yeah, I know this is going to sound really stupid, but it took me forever to create those ideas and turn them into reality. And somewhere in there, because I had blinders on with those goals, it didn't dawn on me until we did our first beta launch and realized how popular we were or how marketable we were that, oh, my gosh, I'm in the deliverability business.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to be in that business. That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of promise.
It's a lot. It's scary. It's a lot. It was overwhelming. And, that's what we did, and that's what we signed up for, so we rose to the occasion. There were times where we screwed it up. We learned. That's why we went into beta. And we owe all of our future success to our beta users, no question. Because even though I have so much experience with email marketing, I'm the guy who asks questions about email marketing, especially with relationship building. I do it one way, you know, and there's a billion ways to do this. And being able to see other people do it in a totally different way was very eye-opening, and it found every little hole in our system. So it was hard. It was, you know, it was horrible, and I'm excited we're on this side of it. and now I feel really confident in the system because of that, you know. But, getting to a spam box or getting into a promotions tab is absolutely a relationship killer. So they have to hit the inbox or it's a waste of time.
Well, Chuck, I definitely want to continue the conversation with you and talk about some opportunities that we might have moving forward of, you know, how I can promote you and whatnot to my people. But we are out of time. So, Linda, can I ask you to get me in touch with Chuck after the call is over?
Absolutely.
Great.
Thank you so much. And why don't you give our listeners that link one more time, Linda?
So, as always, bbdnow.com/SendReach, SendReach, SendReach.
And Chuck, thank you so much for being here today. This has been a fantastic show, and it's certainly a topic that we don't get to talk about often enough. Email is so important, and I encourage all of our listeners to go check out bbdnow.com/SendReach. One of the other really unique things about SendReach is how he has it priced right now. I assume that this is an introductory special, the way you've got the pricing set up, Chuck?
That's correct. We don't believe it'll be there for another week. It's a model that we could not financially support from here forward. It's a way to celebrate what we're doing, the chance to pay one single payment and not pay monthly payments with an email platform is unheard of. We're doing that for now. We're doing that to celebrate. We're doing that to grow quickly. But we can't do that long. It's not a long-term model. Our long-term model is that you'll be paying monthly, and our monthly payments, our monthly pricing, will be 2 to 3 times the price of all the other email service platforms, rightfully so, but that's where it'll be. So, it's an interesting time right now, about a week.
You talk about a huge savings for every one of our listeners. You can't be in business today without an autoresponder. It will kill your business. And normally you're going to be paying monthly based on the size of the list. To get in right now with the pricing that Chuck's got available on SendReach, don't miss it. bbdnow.com/SendReach. Thank you so much for being here, Chuck. I really appreciate it. And thank you, Linda, for getting this call put together and for doing such a great job with Chuck.
My pleasure.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.